This is my wife, Julie, and we are married. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was first became pastor, and I spent 10 years in full-time evangelism. I grew up on the road in an Airstream travel trailer. My dad was in full-time evangelism for over 40 years. And so I grew up on the travel trailer, the front couch pulled out into a bed. That was my bedroom. And so I grew up in evangelism. And then I was the assistant pastor for 6 years out of college. Then we went to evangelism 10 years full time. And then the church where I was ministering asked me to come back and be the pastor. So I had not been pastor long. And I got up and I thought of this really good illustration with the Word of God. And I thought, I'm going to use my wife. We're going to have this great illustration. And so I was sitting up here, and my wife sat over there, and it was a full house. And I got up, and I said, babe, if you will, come on up here. I need you for a minute for this illustration. So babe, if you'll come up. So I turned around, and when I turned around, a visiting lady had gotten up and come up on the stage. Now, why she thinks I would call her babe, I don't know. But it was awkward because she was on the front. My wife was back there. So my wife had gotten up, was coming towards. She didn't see anything. She got up and came up. And when I turned around, this visiting lady and my wife was coming up on the stage. And I just couldn't catch myself. And I went awkward like this. I think she came to me after you sang your song because I never saw her again after that. She was visiting and never came back. But this is my wife and my sweetheart. I think I said sweetheart. That's what it was. I said, sweetheart, come on up here. And she came up. I don't know. It was very awkward. But this is my wife, Julie. And she is nervous about ministering to the ladies. She does a fantastic job, but she is just Julie. So if you're expecting professional ladies speaker, whatever extraordinaire kind of a thing, what you're going to get is just a real lady. And that's what I like personally. And my wife, when we started dating, she didn't think she'd be a good preacher's wife. She didn't play the piano. And she didn't sing. And I said, listen, I can pay a pianist and I can hire a soloist. But as long as you kiss good, that's all I care about. And so she has been just the world's most wonderful pastor's wife and evangelist wife and everything else that she's had to be. And so we're just honored to be here. Now listen, really, we're doing this as a bonus, but we get to be here at this, and we hope we can get to meet some of you. Maybe when I'm done, you don't care to, but we hope we get to meet you, and we just want to kind of feed into your lives this week. I'm going to learn as much as I'll teach, but we want to ask God to bless, and our hearts are heavy for Brother Harold. It really is. He doesn't even want us to mention that, because Brother Harold's a positive guy, and he doesn't want to talk about it, wants to see God work, and I do too. But Brother Harold and I I consider good friends now. I consider him one of my heroes, and it kind of started over coffee. We had him at the church, and I'm one of these guys. I carry my own coffee maker when I travel, and kind of a thing, you know. And anyway, so he came, and I had to put him in my prayer office, and I had one of my machines in there. And after church, he said, man, that is really good. I got to get the information. I said, just give me your address. So I sent him a coffee machine and coffee pods and all that. And he's been thanking me ever since. So that's why I'm here, because we like coffee, I guess. That's the only reason. It's not for speaking ability, but it's because I genuinely love Brother Harold. He's a balanced guy. How many of you believe that when you're saved, you have the liberty of the individual believer? And how many of you believe that we ought to be able to do what God calls us and leads us to do? And we ought to give grace to everyone. Grace is missing in our churches nowadays. And I appreciate a preacher like Brother Harold that has grace. None of us do things alike. And none of us agree with everybody and everything. Can I have an amen right there? I don't even agree with me half the time. And I listen to stuff I preached a year ago. I'm like, oh, I don't even agree with that. That was horrible. So listen, we just let's love each other. And I really appreciate Calvary Chapel letting us use this. This is a fantastic situation, and they're very kind because they're busy too, and I appreciate them letting us. Let's pray, ask God to bless our time as we begin. Lord, we love you. Thank you for my sweetheart and my wife, and thank you for these precious people. And Lord, as we dig into your word, just lay a little bit of foundation tonight. I pray that you'd help us. We sure do love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you will, grab your Brother Dan, I think, has passed out these sheets. And I wanted to give these to you. Sometimes with PowerPoint, we use PowerPoint at church and stuff, but I know sometimes that puts undue pressure sometimes on, you know, I told the sound man, he might not be the sound man, but what is your name? Bobby. And I've gotten along good with Bobby. Now, come on. Hey, how many of y'all think this kind of looks cool, these lights? You know, kind of thing. I know it's not maybe in your living room, but don't they look, you know, they look pretty cool. Those are ping pong balls. It is awesome. Bobby gave me the secret. I don't know if I was supposed to tell you that or not. But that is awesome. I'm going to do that in my bathroom at home or something like that. I think it's fantastic. And I appreciate them giving their time doing all this. And I told him, the sound man, nobody sees him unless something goes wrong. This is what sound men always see. And so I appreciate them. They do a whole lot more right than they'll ever do wrong. But I want you to have a handout you can put in your Bible if you don't like it. And you don't like me, you can add a beard, a mustache on the faces, kind of a thing. You can circle in the zeros, fill them in, whatever you need to do. And as we get started, this is Couples Advance. And the whole point of advance means to go forward. The whole point of it is that I want to be further when I leave than I was when I came. Can I have an amen right there? You know, every day of our life, we should advance. And I like this. I like the men's prayer advance and the student prayer advance and the women's prayer advance or ladies' prayer advance. I like the couples advance because we're not just here to try to waste 2.5 days. We're here to advance. We're here to go forward. And you can't go forward unless the foundation is right. And so every session that we're going to do, we have one of these handouts for you, at least that I'm going to be doing. And they're all going to be advancing in some way in your marriage. And so we've got to start first with alignment. If we are not aligned biblically, then you can't grow. You can't go forward. You know, a car doesn't run right if it's out of alignment. You can have the nicest car. You can have a $100,000 car. You could have every option a car has to offer. You can have, the best sound system. You can do aftermarket. You can do everything else. But if that car is out of alignment, it's not going to run right. And everything else you do to that car is not going to help one thing until you get that alignment right. And so we're going to start with this. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Now, the verses are on your sheet, I believe, most of which, so that I know a couple's advance. Sometimes people do or don't bring their Bibles. I know that most of you do, and I love our worship time. And again, did I tell you I sing a third part to that song? I don't know if I mentioned that, but if while I'm here for the weekend, if you ever... But I love the music, and I appreciate just a wonderful, wonderful job. And blessed be the name of the Lord. That's true. His name is blessed. And I appreciate that so very, very much. And let's look at Genesis 3. I know you've never heard this passage before, but hold on. Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That wasn't true. She added to what God had said. We all know that. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And he was right about that. But in a weird sort of way. Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Boy, there's just about 80% truth in everything, and about 20% false in this. And then there's 20% truth and 80% false. And verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant, to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. E. Lawson said this, I think this is on your sheet. 50 years ago, parents were apt to have a lot of kids. Nowadays, kids are apt to have a lot of parents. It's kind of true, isn't it? Now, what I'm going to share with you tonight, you guys know. And I'm not taking that for granted. I know that you know that. But as Dan had mentioned, and others also, we've all been through, we're tired of talking about it, and yet we all have to admit where we are, and we are where we are because of what we've been through. So you kind of almost have to mention it. You don't want to dwell on it. We're all sick of talking about it, but yet at the same point, we're all still in a little bit of a funk from it. Right. And so you got to kind of deal with it in that background, and because of what's gone on, sometimes you can get out of alignment, if I can do that correctly. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you've been married 45 years. If you've been married 55 years, if you've been married, 5 months, it doesn't matter. Everything that comes at you in your marriage can get you out of alignment. So let's pull into the shop here just for a minute this evening, and let's just make sure before, and we're going to have some fun tomorrow. At least I am. You might not, but I'm going to have some fun tomorrow. We're going to talk about the differences, and I know that we're all aware of the differences of men and women, but we're going to go into some things. It's going to be fun, and we're going to talk about that because we have three sessions really tomorrow that I can kind of go from one to the other so that we can kind of cover that whole thing, and it'll be fun. There's a lot of things to laugh at and all that, but tonight we can't build if we don't get everything under alignment. So let's look, if you would. Number one, I want you to see God's reasonable assignment. God's reasonable assignment. Look at the verse under this point. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man. Now, what are we reading? We are reading about right now what Eve and Satan were talking about in chapter 3. So what they're talking about, now we're going to go back and look at this. Look, if you would, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded Eve. It doesn't say that, does it? Who did God give the command to about the tree of the garden? He gave it to Adam. So notice, look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God comes to Adam. Now here's what was supposed to have transpired. Adam's supposed to hear what God says. Adam's supposed to go to the wife and say, this is what God said. But what's funny is God tells Adam about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then who does Satan go to tempt? He goes to the woman. Now you say, well, why is that? And don't read into anything of that. And we're going to explain this. How did Satan disrupt the first marriage? And the same way he disrupted the first marriage is how he can disrupt every marriage. He did so by switching the alignment, the order in the relationship. Look at this verse, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman. He didn't go to Adam to make the decision. Why? Because God's alignment is that the man should be the head of the home. In other words, he's the responsible one. It ought to come through him. But Satan knew that. So the first thing he does is this. If I can get out of the order, if I can get out of God's alignment, then bad things can happen. And guess what? Still in 2021, I don't care if you've been married 50 years, like I said, or 5 months. If you get things out of order, Satan has place in your life. And so we've got to make sure that our alignment is correct. You can have all the knowledge, but still, something's wrong in the marriage. You can read the books, and still, something's wrong in the marriage. You can come to marriage retreats, and yet something's still wrong in the marriage. By the way, I told you I have a love-hate relationship with couples retreats and conferences and things. I'll tell you why. Because they put a beating on your marriage. As soon as I say I'm going to speak at a marriage conference, Satan attacks us. He attacked you while you were driving here. Get you arguing already. I mean, start it up. You forgot my clothes? And now if it all transpired as calm as you, good for you. It wouldn't have gone that calm with us. Hey, listen, when I do marriage conferences and stuff, Satan tests us. He attacks. He is on the attack. And trust me, with what you and I have been through in this past year and a half, if all of us were honest, in many ways, the marriage has taken a beating a little bit. Notice this. He didn't go to Adam to make the decision. He went to Eve on purpose. God told Adam before Eve, listen to me, before Eve was even created, God told Adam that he could eat of every tree in the garden freely, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'll give you a good one. I don't necessarily believe this, but I'm going to tell you. Somebody asked me one time when I got done, and I never thought about it. God told Adam he couldn't eat of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam he couldn't. He never said Eve that she couldn't. The reason they said that sin came is because Adam ate of it after she did. And that's where the problem was. And I don't know about that. I've always thought that if Eve ate the fruit and Adam didn't, you know what we'd have had for eternity? fallen woman and perfect man. All right, let's move on. I just kind of lost a bunch of you right there. You know, after God gave that instruction to Adam, it was Adam's job to transfer that information to Eve, which he did. But the devil showed up and he talked to Eve. And Eve ended up in an in-depth dialogue apart from Adam about the instruction God gave Adam. Look at me. If Eve's talking about something that God told Adam, Adam should have been there. But Satan knew, not that, women mess things up. No. Satan just knew that God didn't tell Eve that. He told Adam that. So for the way for me to really get to Adam is to get to Eve. And the way to get to Eve is to bypass Adam. Because if you get out of God's alignment, things are in trouble. Look at this verse 6 of chapter 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Eve made a deliberate decision based on an emotional response. The tree delighted her. The Bible says the tree caused her to desire it. Here she made a deliberate decision, but it was based on an emotional response. What happens next is she gave the fruit to Adam. Where was Adam all along? What's interesting, notice this, and I thought this was interesting. Now, you can look back up at your verses. Look at verse 6. Please see this. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. Notice that. With her. Do you know, in all probability, Satan's talking to the woman, and Adam took a passive role. He's near, he's close, but he just letting her handle it. And men do that a lot. And you know, a lot of times women have to handle it because the man won't. Somebody's got to handle it. Hey, the kid's crying. What's the man doing? Swapping the channels. Somebody's got to do it. Hey, there's problems going on. Somebody's got to take care of this. And oftentimes when the man won't, the wife has to step up. Then the roles get reversed. And all of a sudden we're out of alignment. And then all of a sudden we wonder why are things not right? It's interesting how all this happened. Now notice this. Please get this. Eve had to become the spiritual leader between the two. And God intended for the man to be the spiritual leader. And that's not a role of, what do you call it? It's a role of responsibility, not of privilege. It's not like the man's supposed to walk around, hey, I'm the leader. No, it means God's going to make you answer for it. It's responsibility. It's not privilege. But Adam let her take care of it. Adam took a passive role, and so passive that after she made the decision, she gave him the fruit and he just ate it. What a spiritual leader that was. So the roles got reversed. All hell literally broke loose. Satan is invited into your marriage when the roles get flipped. And by the way, they still do. Today we have a generation of flipped role marriage. Dominant women, passive men, and they're not following the biblical mandate of alignment. Watch your average sitcom. What is the average sitcom? The wife's running everything. The husband's some buffoon sitting over here, or he's just sarcastic. And she kind of runs things and all those different things. We live in a culture that's designed by that. That's nothing against women. It means this, that if God made it this way, the world wants to do it a different way. And our kids are being raised by that. And that's what's going on. You know, many marriages are shaky today because the relationship is out of alignment. Number two, now I know right now it's just information, but we're getting there. Number two, I want you to see God's proper alignment. You say, well, you keep saying, preacher, that we get out of alignment. So what is proper alignment? If we're going to go forward tomorrow, we're going to have some fun, talk about the differences, communication. We're going to talk about conflict resolution. That's a real good one. I can't wait to do that one with you a little bit. If we're going to do all that, but look at me, it's not going to help, because if we're out of alignment, we're going to make all these decisions and we get back home, we're going to end up in the same place. The tires are still wobbly. So we've got to make sure the alignment's right. Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses are there on your paper. God's proper alignment. What did God say? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things. Notice this, keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul says, I want you to understand that there is an order to how God operates. Listen to me. That order clearly designates that God is the head of Christ, that Christ is the head of every man, and that the man, the husband, is the head of the woman, the wife. Now, let me explain that, because if you don't understand that correctly, you're going to say, so you're saying that all men are over all women. No. Notice what the verse says. It says, and the head of the woman is the man. We're talking singular. So he didn't say the head of women are men. He says the head of the woman is the man, talking in the context of marriage. We're talking singular here. So what does that mean? This alignment doesn't state that all men are over all women, nor that this arrangement applies in a work environment or all other, you know, relationships. Look at me. Wives, listen to me. It doesn't mean that you are under your husband, but that means you're under every other man in the world. No, you're not. No, you're not. Everybody got that? I just want to make sure you understand. This passage is where we get the clearest delineation of God's alignment. And so I've got to make this, listen, this is a bit, can be a bit boring, but we've got to get this alignment done right. And some of you say, well, this is exactly how it is in my house. Hold on, okay? God the Father is over Christ. Now listen, Christ is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You understand that we're talking about alignment. That's what proves that it doesn't mean that a woman is less than the man. Because Christ isn't less than God. But what did Jesus say when he came? He said, I came to do the will of my Father. Right. So it means that Jesus willingly submitted himself under the head of God the Father for proper alignment. Just like it doesn't mean a woman's less than a man, but in God's alignment that the man is responsible, and then the wife is under him, and then the kids are under the wife and the man. And we can go on down from there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So that means when anyone gets out of that order, Satan has a chance to bring chaos into your family. By the way, you keep in mind in this passage that we realize Jesus can't get out of alignment. It's impossible of his nature to get out of alignment. So if things are going to get out of alignment, God the Father, Jesus, man, if it's going to get out of alignment, it's got to start under Jesus. Jesus doesn't get out of alignment. Can I have an amen right there? So you say, all right, preacher, what are you saying? If Jesus can't get out of this hierarchy, then you and I shouldn't either. If Jesus Christ is willing to stay in alignment, shouldn't we? You say, well, yeah, but I don't agree with it, and you don't know what I... Whoa. If Jesus is willing to submit himself, aren't we? Now listen to me, look at this verse, John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, Jesus willingly submitted himself under another's authority. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:3 tells us, we just read it, that every man is under Christ. At this stage, look at me, everybody look at me real quick. At this stage is where most marriages get out of alignment. Most marriages get out of alignment with the man. Now all the men are like, don't shoot me. Look at me. We know God the Father, then Jesus, but Jesus doesn't get out of alignment. And here's what often happens. If the man is out of alignment, his whole family is. Now sometimes there is. The man is in alignment under Christ, but the wife has chosen to remove herself from the alignment. And every once in a while, there is where the man's under alignment with Christ, the wife's under alignment with the man, and then the children remove themselves under that alignment. That's where a mom and dad beat themselves up the rest of their life, thinking they failed because their kids made the wrong choices. No, they remove themselves out from under the alignment. Quit beating yourself up. Your job isn't to keep them in the alignment. Your job is to keep yourself under your alignment. You can't make your children stay under that alignment. All God's people said, amen. Quit beating yourself up. We have a lot of people that do. This point is where most marriages begin to have problems. Now listen to me. Jesus said, not my will, but yours. The breakdown of hierarchy or alignment always usually begins at this level. Many men complain about their wives not submitting to them. And I have found through whatever years of counseling I've given to many, many couples and all those different things, look at me, I have found that many times the wife is not submitting to the husband because she clearly sees he is not submitting to Christ. He jumped out of alignment and the whole family has chaos now. So there's no alignment for them to get under. If the husband gets out of alignment, then there is no alignment. So if the wife's going to get back under Christ where she's supposed to be, now she's subverting the alignment that God had because the man's not there. And that's why we have a lot of churches where most of the spiritual leaders are ladies. Because the husbands won't step up. Everybody got that? So you say, preacher, why are you here? You're here to jump on us? No. Listen, the fact that you're here shows that all of us, my age, your age, whatever age you be, we want to be in alignment. And we want to say, listen, if I'm out of alignment, God, show me. I want to get this thing back right. Because if things are in alignment, the marriage runs right. And if it doesn't, you can buy all the gifts or clothes you want to. But it's not going to run right. All right, listen to this. The question that we get from Paul, what Paul's writing here in 1 Corinthians, the question we get is this. Are you submitting? Are you submitting? Every person in the chain of alignment has to submit. You know, everybody, all the men love to bring up, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. But you don't ever hear the men saying, the head of every man is Christ. You see, the man has to submit just as much as the woman. It's just to two different people. You see, the woman submits to Christ by submitting to the man. That's why he said, as unto the Lord. So in alignment, the way she aligns under Christ is to align under the man. But the man has to submit to Christ the way that man always asked his wife to submit to him. And oftentimes when you get a couple in an office and he's talking about, she's not submissive, she won't submit to me whatsoever. And oftentimes you talk and you find out, wait a minute, this man isn't the spiritual leader of the home. He doesn't have any spiritual interest, hadn't had any family devotions, doesn't read with his wife, doesn't talk with his wife, doesn't do anything spiritual with his wife, hadn't done all this and hadn't done all that. And all of a sudden you find out, wait a minute, she is unsubmissive to him because she clearly sees that he's unsubmissive to Christ. And then the kids see, mom's not submitting to dad, dad's not submitting to Christ. Kids don't even know how to process all that. All they know is things are chaos, so I might as well make my own rules. Yep. Now everything's out of alignment. If you understand kind of what I'm saying here, say amen. Amen. And I appreciate your patience. So when we understand submission from a biblical perspective, we see that it's a positive thing to submit. I submit so I can, because I love my family. I want to submit to Christ, men, because I love my family. And wives, I want to submit under my husband in alignment with Christ because I love my family and I love our marriage. And if you love it, that's what you have to do. That's the best thing for it. It's amazing. You know what men often want to do? They want to be the head without being under the head. I saw this statement. When a man opens a car door for his wife, it's either a new car or a new wife. Hey, couples retreat. That's where we start holding hands. Walk in. I'm preaching this week. We love each other. We get along great. Our marriage is perfect. No, it's not perfect for anyone. We all struggle. But you know what? You and I need to understand that this is all about alignment. It's amazing how the pressure comes off you, husbands, and the pressure comes off you, wives, when we're under alignment. When everything's in alignment like it should be, that's when you look at each other and you're like, what's transpired? Why is everything so different? I don't feel like we're different. Why is everything so different? Because when you're in alignment, when those tires are aligned, that car runs smooth. It's interesting. What happens? Well, usually the husband gets out of alignment under Christ. Now the wife's under alignment. Next, the kids get out of alignment. Pretty soon the entire family is out of alignment. So how do we get back under alignment? It's got to start with the man. What did Christ say? You're the head. The rest can't get under alignment if the head isn't. So head means responsible. So that means this, because you're the head, you have to get under alignment first. And I'll sit counsel couples that have marriage problems. Guess what? First thing to do, and it's the hardest thing to do, is to get that man to even admit it might be him. And if he get him to admit that it's him, and I get him back under Christ where he's supposed to be, sometimes the wife doesn't follow overnight. Because he's been out of alignment for a long time. And then the husband gets discouraged. Well, I've done all you've asked me to do for 3 hours. We're just going to work, preacher. You know, the hardest thing is get that man back under Christ and keep him there. And quit making that man trying to get her under alignment, but make that man concentrate just keeping himself under alignment. Hey, you know, isn't it interesting? God did not say, husbands, make sure your wives submit. He said, wives, submit to your husbands. The husband has nothing to do with the submission of the wife. It's not your concern. You shouldn't even notice it. You shouldn't even look for it. That was a conversation between God and the wife. You weren't invited. Husbands, our job is to stay under Christ. That's all we worry about. And he said to the wife, listen, if the husband has to make the wife submit, that's not submission, that's obedience. Then the heart's out of it. So he said, wives, listen, husbands, I got to get myself under Christ. And then the wife has to, from her heart, put herself back under alignment. God's reasonable assignment. Isn't that interesting? I love this. Martin Luther said, let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave. Interesting. What was the assignment? The assignment was to the man. To the man. That was the assignment. You need of every tree, just not that one. Well, why was there even the tree of knowledge of good and evil? I don't know that you guys will know, but most people I don't really know. Why not just make it where they could eat everything? Because then if that was the case, there would be no free will. You see, the tree of knowledge of good and evil had to be there so that they could choose right. If everything was available, then there would be no wrong choice. So they wouldn't even really have the ability to choose. So there had to be something there that they couldn't have so that they could choose to obey. That's free will. That's what makes where God could commune with man, not a robot. Right. So that was there. And the reasonable assignment was this. You have all this, just don't do this. And when Adam and Eve got out of alignment, she took the spiritual leadership. He became the passive. Things got out of alignment. My time's almost gone, but I want you to see this. Number three, God's promised agreement. God's promised agreement. Let me say this as we get to this one. So you're saying, preacher, that, okay, if I'm a wife, listen. Let me briefly state that this order of alignment from God has its limitations. If a man asks you to rob a bank, you don't need to rob the bank. That's not putting yourself under alignment with the husband. That would be breaking, look at me, God's law. Your husband, if he asks you to do something that breaks God's law is greater than his law. And listen to me. In other words, if a man asks his wife to do something that is contrary to God's laws, he then yields his authority to God. Now the wife must yield to God, not her husband. So just because the husband says it doesn't mean you got to do it. It means that if the husband says it, he needs to make sure that God told him to do that. God told him to say that. Just because a husband has an idea like, I think you ought to do this. Well, did that come from God? If not, if you're asking her to do something that's going against God's will, now she has the right now to put her authority, her submission under God, not you, because you have decided that your law is higher than God's law. Everybody got how that works? So don't think this is a clear line. Well, this preacher says, I got to do everything my husband tells me to do. I'm not saying that at all. Just most of it, okay? All right, number three, God's promised agreement. Matthew chapter 6, you know it. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, God is saying this, if you simply align yourself under my authority, then I've got you covered. I've got your back. I'll take care of it from there. As long as we are in alignment under Christ in our marriage, he takes care of it. When we get out of alignment, when we get out from under his authority, we have removed him. In order for God to cover us, men, we're going to have to humble ourselves under his authority. We're going to have to align our thoughts, our actions, our decisions, and our leadership under the authority of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first his righteousness. Notice to me real quick. Remember that it was Eve who talked to the devil in the garden and chose to eat the fruit. Y'all remember that? Say amen. The devil came to her, correct? Can I show you a verse? It's on your sheet. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 21. She's the one that talked to the devil. She's the one that ate the fruit first. But Adam is the one blamed for bringing sin into the world. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die. Wait a minute. He wasn't the first one to eat the fruit. She's the one that did all that. And he just, you know, he just was fooled. So why is the man blamed? Why does the Bible not say, for as in Eve all die? He says, for as in Adam all die. Why Adam? Because in God's eyes, he was the one responsible. To be the head over someone means you give account. Men, you and I are held responsible. We got to keep that in mind. God's the one that's perfect, not us. We need to be under him. You and I don't know how to lead correctly on our own. We just don't know. But here's what's great. We don't have to know. All we have to do is worry about keeping ourselves under Christ. He knows. He knows how to lead the marriage. He knows how to give us wisdom. He knows the direction to take. He knows all that. I don't have to worry about what to do and how am I going to pay that bill and how am I going to meet that need and I got children and they're going through this phase and this season of life and I don't know how to do that and my wife's going through something right now and I don't know how to do that. And let me tell you something, your wife's going to go through things and you're going to figure her out, and as soon as you figure her out, she's going to change again. And once you figure out, she's going to change again. Do you know it's biblical? You know, all the way back in Genesis, it's amazing how the law first mentions in the Bible. When the Bible says that the man should leave father and mother, cleave unto his wife. You know what that word cleave means? You say, yeah, it's the leaving and the weaving and the cleaving and the heaving. I don't know. What are you talking about, preacher? What is that word cleave unto his wife? It means pursue. God made a woman to be pursued. And men, if you could figure your wife out as you're trying to do, and once you figure her out, you think, okay, now I can go to the recliner finally. watch Monday Night Football and be done with this junk, she's going to change on you again. Because you ought to spend the rest of your life pursuing your bride. God made it that way. Because a man, when he conquers something, he's done with it. Interesting. So God's reasonable assignment. You say, how'd you get off on that? I don't know. All right, let's go back. Why is Adam blamed? He's the head. Let me put it this way. Husbands, if you sit down with me and let me, hey, I've seen it all. I've seen where there's some men, I'm like, I don't know how you live with her. I've seen those situations. I've seen where she's running around on him on men and left and right, and his husband's raising the kids trying to do right, and the wife's just, it's almost like a Hosea Gomer type situation. I've seen some of those. Listen, those are all different. Like, we're talking about God's biblical definition. And this is how God had intended, but we all know that sometimes things happen against God's will. It's just life. We understand that. But you and I need to understand something, that God has an alignment. God has an assignment. But he also has an agreement that if we seek him first, that he will take care of everything else. You know, the best thing a man can do in leading his home and cultivating his marriage is to ask himself every day, what is the mind of Christ on this matter? Whatever you face, look at me. Well, you say, well, why do you do that? Because that puts you under his alignment. All right, Lord, I'm not going to make a decision about this till you show me. What do you want? Give me a verse. You're staying under alignment. If you stay under alignment, look at me. Now the wife has the decision. Am I going to get under there where I'm supposed to be? Or am I going to, and here's what's interesting. It's amazing to me how when a husband is under Christ as he should be, a wife enjoys submitting to that husband. There's a security there to a woman to know I'm where I'm supposed to be. But when a man's not where he's supposed to be, whatever that woman does, she doesn't feel like she's where she's supposed to be because it's out of alignment. So why do we have marriage conferences and different things to get things back under alignment? For the husband, how many of you have been to marriage conferences? Boy, I've done this. And somebody's teaching like, boy, I hope my wife's listening to this. Hey, we have a speaker that does a good job with us and a couple of things we've had a couple of times. And they've done the study. Do you know that physiologically that a man needs to have, you know, every 72 hours. Every 72 hours, his body begins to go in a mode where it's hard for him not to look at women. It's hard for him not to have bad thoughts because physiologically he's made that way. I had 80 men sitting in that session thinking, oh dear God, please let my wife hear that. Guess what I found out? None of them did. None of them did. Somehow it should end up on a Hallmark. Somewhere. Maybe they would get it then. Hey, why do we come to these things? Sometimes we come like, hey, maybe he'll say something she needs. I hope that he'll deal with something that he needs. And you know what I'm going to deal with tomorrow, everyone needs. I hope she. And don't get me wrong. Listen, what do we got to learn tonight? We got to learn this, that the only responsibility I got to think of right now is, am I under Christ? Man, the only thing on your mind is this, am I under Christ? What's interesting, he didn't tell the woman that the man had to be under Christ. He told the man. So that means it's men, my job is, am I under Christ? That's my thought. Not worried about my wife, not worried if she's submissive, if she's this, if she puts the grandkids before me and whatever else before me. I've got a son, I've got three boys. My oldest, this is his senior year. Guess what the most important thing in my wife's life for this entire year is? My oldest son. Oh, this is good. This is a senior year. We can't miss that. This is a senior. I was like, he's getting his teeth cleaned. Well, we can't miss that. It's a senior year, you know. I'm exaggerating. A little. I'm exaggerating. Hey, listen. That's how a wife operates. That's how a wife operates. Man, she bore that child. I mean, she's been up in the middle of the night and all kinds of things. Let me tell you something. My job in a marriage conference isn't to sit like, well, I hope God gets to her heart. That's why I drove all this way. That's why I bought a whole car full of new clothes. Bad enough I'm going, now I got to buy clothes. Poor Dan had it all, didn't he? Now the speaker's dressed like me and everything else. What in the world? He's got my name, he's got my glasses, he's got my sweater. Hey, alignment. There's something, and here's what's interesting. All we have here tonight are husbands and wives. And if you're not a husband or wife, here we have men or women here tonight. And here's what's great. There's one thing men and women have in common. None of them are the head. You men say, I'm the head of the home. Yeah, but you're under Christ. None of us are on top. None of us are in charge. Our only job is to stay under alignment. And as we get under alignment, and the husband gets under alignment, and the wife gets under alignment, all of a sudden now they're getting along a lot better. Yes. Now what do the kids see? Yes. Oh, it looks pretty fun under alignment. Mm-hmm. I don't want that kind of life. I don't want the fighting and the screaming and the arguing all the time. They're under, okay, I'll get under alignment. Right. And let me tell you something. You all know if you've had kids and you've ever had an argument in front of your kids, it's tension for all of them. And kids relax when they see mom and dad getting along. Right. Mom and dad start, listen, I grew up in an Airstream travel trailer. You couldn't hide much from a kid in an Airstream travel trailer. Can I have an amen right there? A 1972 Airstream Sovereign travel trailer. Even the stabilizers were old in the trailer. You can't hide anything from a kid in an Airstream travel trailer. My mom and dad were ones, man, dad come through, he'd grab my mom's backside. He'd flirt with her. He would, you know, whatever. He'd come whisper something and she'd go, Dan, you know, kind of a thing. I can only imagine what he said. My dad was a comedian in a nightclub on Miami Beach when he got saved. A month later, ended up at Tennessee Temple University. What? I can imagine what he said to her in the kitchen. I got to tell you this real quick. My grandpa owned a nightclub. My dad was a comedian there. And my grandpa had a customer come in one night. My grandpa's name was Albert. And the guy sat down at the bar. He said, Albert, give me a scotch before the trouble starts. And after about eight drinks, my grandpa asked this guy, he said, what's the trouble? He says, I don't have any money. And there was trouble. That's the background my dad came from. But I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid, you'd be like, what do kids do? Ew! Gross. Dude, don't do that. It's embarrassing. But deep down, they're really glad that they're under alignment. Because if they're under alignment, those children could be under alignment. But when they're at each other, where's a child supposed to go? Where do I fit into this? And they hit a teenager, they realize I don't have to fit in anywhere. I'll go find my own alignment. It all starts from just being out of alignment. If you understand a little bit, say amen. I'm taking a lot. I got more I can show you. We're done. Let's pray. And I know we've got the split session coming up here. Lord, we love you. Lord, just because I preach on it doesn't mean I'm good at it. Lord, I get out of alignment so often. My old nasty flesh. Oh, my ego, my pride. Lord, whenever I find that I am noticing how everyone else under me is not aligned right, that's when I'm out of alignment. When I notice it in them, Lord, that's a clear sign that I'm out of alignment. It means I'm looking at them instead of you. God, help us, whatever stage of marriage or life we're in, help us to understand we've still got to be in alignment. Lord, we sure do love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I tell you this? That, you know when you end up, all of a sudden one day look at your tires and all of a sudden the insides are just, you know, that outside looked pretty good, but the inside, oh my goodness, they're almost flat. They're worn through. When you get out of alignment, you don't notice it for a while. But it could be real trouble. So what's a marriage conference for? To get a good look, see where we're at. Right, Brother Dan? Thank you.